Hey, y'all, check it out. The audiobook has finally been released. Just go to foolserrand.us. That's the shortcut. It'll take you over to the Amazon page. And very soon, actually, I got a brand new website going up at scotthorton.org. And so soon you'll be able to buy that audiobook directly from me. But for now, you can still get it at Audible and at amazon.com. The audiobook of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And yes, it's read by me. And I'm sorry it took so long. I nitpicked the hell out of it. Trying to get it ready for you guys. And then plus it took them forever after I submitted it to finally release it. But anyway, there you go. Foolserrand.us, Amazon.com. Just search for my name, Scott Horton, Fool's Errand. And the audio book is up there for you. Also, of course, available in paperback and Kindle if you want the 1150 footnotes.
Sorry, I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
It's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Oh, we ain't killing their army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, on the line, I got the great James Bovard. Jim Bovard to you and me, because we're friends. Welcome back to the show, Jim. How are you?
Hey, doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me on. And it was great to see you on C-SPAN last night. You did a fine job.
Well, thanks very much. Hey, everybody, you can find the link in the show notes, because Jim just mentioned it. Appreciate that. Hey, listen, so you wrote a bunch of books, but it only occurred to me this second that you have another new book that you've put out since Public Policy Hooligan, and the title of it is on the tip of my tongue, but you're going to have to help.
I think Freedom Frauds is the title. This is from Future Freedom Foundation.
Freedom Frauds. There you go. So, and this is the author, everybody, of a lot of great books, but he told me not to list them all for you. So how about just...
I was trying to make it easy for you, Scott.
Terrorism and Tyranny and The Bush Betrayal and Attention Deficit Democracy, the masterpiece, Attention Deficit Democracy, by the great James Bovard. You know what, Bovard, here's what he is. He's an investigative columnist, right? He writes opinion pieces that are full of original investigative journalism, and he just kicks ass at it, and he's the best libertarian journalist we got. That's what I say. And I'm right about everything. Okay,
thanks very much. That's very kind, Scott.
Yeah. No, I love your work, seriously. It's really, really great, always. And here you are in the Hill. Oh, and he writes for USA Today. He's on the editorial board thingamajig there. And now here you are in the Hill. Time for the U.S. to end democracy promotion flimflams. And here this is about the NED. What is the NED and why is it in the news so that you're commenting on it, Jim?
It's the National Endowment for Democracy, and it's in the news because Trump has proposed to cut their budget by 60%, which is long overdue. This is an agency that was created in the under Reagan. It's been meddling in foreign elections ever since. It was caught interfering in elections in France, Panama, Costa Rica, Poland, Nicaragua. It helped spark coups in Venezuela and Haiti. It's done a lot of mischief, and this is an agency which should not exist because it has given a license for U.S. government tools to interfere in foreign elections at the same time that much of the media is so indignant about alleged Russian interference here in the 2016 election. This is not the first time that hypocrisy has been one of the U.S. government's biggest exports.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I drove by the National Endowment for Democracy when I was in D.C. the other day. I'm going to totally ruin your interview here. You know what I think is hilarious about driving around D.C.? Which is a place I've very rarely gone to in my life. But when I'm there, I'm always so impressed by the Well, the government buildings where they go, National Endowment for Democracy has this giant stone mansion, whatever the hell it is, thing that it's based out of there. But also the giant towers that say Lockheed and Raytheon and BAE Systems and all this stuff, where they don't know that they should be ashamed and that they should have their buildings on the far side of the prison out in the country from here where nobody can see them. They're proud to say, like, we have the best looking campus in Maryland or Virginia, whichever side or whichever river it was where they were. And they're just bragging and boasting and not ashamed in the slightest that we all know that it's all government money where this comes from.
Well, and I mean,
I just like it. It's so crass, you know?
Well, it makes sense for them to have those very large and invisible, sign in front, since they also spent a lot of money in full page ads in the Washington Post and places like that. So, it's not like these people are going to get shy anytime soon.
I guess not. They don't know it's a scandal. They're like, what scandal? Yeah. Oh, the Empire. Oh, okay.
It's not a scandal in D.C. I mean, it's good for business and makes the politicians happy. And it keeps the Washington Post editorial page, gives them something to write about, one more country that we have to liberate.
Right. All right. Now, so the National Endowment for Democracy here. Well, what's the agenda going on there with Trump cutting their budget by 60%?
I think that Trump sees them as a kind of a I started to say Trump thinks this and Trump thinks that shit. I don't know. It's hard to know what Trump thinks because, as far as I know, he's never sent out a tweet on the National Endowment for Democracy. But there are people in his administration that think that a lot of the stuff the U.S. government has done on democracy promotion in the past was either not effective or stuff we should not have been doing. I think this ties into some of the good rhetoric that Trump had during his presidential campaign, much of which he seemed to have forgotten, as far as cutting back U.S. meddling abroad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what's the reaction been to the announcement? I mean, other than yours in the Hill here, what's the Washington Post and the rest saying?
Oh, my God, it's like the end of the world. Yeah. And this is, the standard pundits, like some of the Washington Post columnists, are acting like that Trump is it's sabotaging American values, it's sabotaging American decency, it's a failure to save the world from themselves. There's this level after level of indignation. A number of the folks, groups that have been most indignant have been on this gravy train for a long time. There's a lot of lots of this money gets sloshed around. So the National Endowment for Democracy has a lot of friends who will scream like stuck pigs if someone proposes to cut their budget. But this is typical how budget games are played in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of which, and I guess I'm asking you to speculate here, but sounds like, you know, you do know how this works. When they're slashing the budget from $170 million to $67 million, as it says here, does that sound to you like, well, there's this one big project they want to keep, and that's where the $67 million is going? Or that's just keep the lights on and the pensions paid?
No, I mean, with $67 million, they'd still be able to do a lot of stuff. It's unlikely that Congress will go along with this. I mean, part of the reason is that a lot of the money from the endowment goes to the front groups for the GOP and the Democrats, they buy a lot of friends. And when you have friends in Congress for these kind of things, it makes it very difficult to cut the budget. Plus, most members of Congress simply don't pay much attention to this except to act like it's, a sign of American moral greatness.
Yeah. Well, that aside, it does seem strange to me. I guess I don't really understand how it works that you have the International Republican Institute and the International Democratic Institute, and that...
You mean the National Democratic Institute.
Oh, what am I saying? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
International they don't have the exact same name here. I need to read more carefully. But they both do the same thing, and they both implement the NED's policies? It just seems like that's a strange way to do it, through the parties on an international basis.
It's strange if you're thinking about something that would look honest and credible and, you know, clean. But, I mean,
How effective can the Republican Party be at exporting revolution? I must be missing something.
There are three words that will help you understand this. There are, I guess, four words. Jobs for the boys. and this is what the National Endowment for Democracy does. I mean, you know, there's a lot of these different groups which get money from the agency. And there it's very rare for there to be effective audits. And that's part of the reason there have been so many scandals. But most people in Congress either don't care or don't want to know. Just the fact that you have John McCain as the head of the GOP version, the Institute, it's like, okay, could you find a bigger warmonger? Probably not. And you got Madeleine Albright at the head of the Democrat one. So she has the famous line, as far as a 500,000 dead children there in thanks to the sanctions on Iraq. It's worth it. So this is her moral scheme. And plus, Madeleine Albright is a butcher of Belgrade. But, you know, you and I and many of your listeners would be mortified by that. But it's a bragging point in D.C. So because people, we forced the Serbs to change their government. So, okay, paradise was achieved, or at least it made a nice talking point for Bill Clinton for a few weeks.
Yeah. Well, and that really drives home the point when it's McCain and Albright. What does democracy mean anyway, other than your government better do what our government says or we'll kill you?
That's a nice summary. there are so many levels of hypocrisy in this program. And there have been so many cases where the U.S. has blatantly interfered in foreign elections. Law that set up this agency said it was prohibited from giving direct aid to foreign political parties and candidates. That has been evaded so many times. The money is laundered here, or it's, well, this is a special case, whatever. And there are no consequences. Not only that, but since 1984, this agency has had the same president, Carl Gershman, who is a president for life of the federal agency, which is in charge of exporting democracy. But here's another wrinkle on this. Gershman likes to claim that this endowment is private, non-governmental. Almost all the money comes from Congress, and yet they have this fig leaf. It's one fig leaf after another. And many foreigners are not fooled by this kind of BS. But it works for the Washington Post editorial page. Oh, this is great. This is the, private, non-governmental, the voice of the American people. I mean, there are so many, it's sort of like peeling an onion. There are so many levels of BS here.
Yeah, man. So this guy Gershman, I guess I didn't even realize that they pretended that it was a private foundation or something. Hey, who made the quote that, the NED's job is doing what the CIA used to do in terms of fomenting the revolutions, printing up the posters and arranging for the big screen TVs and stuff?
I don't know that that's all part of an actual quote. Alan Weinstein.
It was the first part.
He was high up in the agency when it was first created, and he made a comment in 1991, I believe, that said that the gist of it was that that this agency was created to do things that the CIA used to do, which is part of the reason that I started out this article with a wonderful quote from former CIA chief James Woolsey, who was on Fox News last month, and he was asked if the U.S. was still meddling in foreign elections. He said, only for a good cause in the interest of democracy. But what he did was have a really weaselly laugh before he said that. It's like, it's odious. I'm looking at the. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, tell me what you're looking at.
No. I was. I had a joke about the Weasley laugh, but it didn't make it into the text of the article. That's okay.
Oh, dang.
I mean, if you listen to that tape, listen to the audio, it's a very strange, like 4 to 5 second laugh. It's almost like guttural that Woolsey's doing. And you wonder, well, gee whiz, this must be really clean.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and Woolsey is historically a raving loon, right? He's the guy that says this is World War IV against the Islamic world, you know.
Well, there's a reason he's popular in Washington.
Yeah, exactly. He also was one of the prime pushers of the Iraq is behind the Al-Qaeda movement altogether conspiracy theory in the 1990s.
Well, that certainly hurt his credibility in D.C. Something horrible. It's almost, you know, it's suffered almost as much as Max Boot has done.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, we're sitting here talking about this quote from him on cable TV, explaining as an expert how it works and admitting it. But now, so here's the thing. Here's Carl Gershman in the fall of 2013. Boy, I guess I better have my date right in front of me here. The date on it is September 26th. 2013, former Soviet states stand up to Russia. Will the U.S.? And it's Carl Gershman in the Washington Post, and it's all about, much of it is about Ukraine, and also he talks about Georgia and Moldova and this and that and there. But at the end, he, and we know that at the time, this is at the start of